This is Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And this is still EAA Radio.
Yep. Imagine Hot Start. That. Imagine.
And we are joined by Mr. Frank Mercier. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I close? Good. Of Air Transport Canada. How are you doing, sir?
Very good, thanks.
Our neighbors to the north. You know, I've always been curious, how different is flying up in Canada versus here in the United States?
Same air, same physics, just a little colder.
I was going to say, a little colder.
A little colder. Yeah, you got some beautiful mountain ranges up there, too, from what I see.
Mountain range, lakes, wilderness,
yeah, how
everything.
What percentage of your country, airspace, whatever, would be considered like bush flying?
Well, if you look at the map, that would be the very major part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's much concentrated to the south. But there are aviators and general aviation aviators all over, including the quite far north.
The North Territories. North to Alaska. That's different. You have to go across Canada there. Anyway, so how is flying doing in Canada?
Didn't we just ask that?
No, we said what kind of flying.
Oh, okay. There is a difference.
General aviation in Canada is doing fine, and Transport Canada is taking the time to look back at general aviation after a little pause of a few years, but we do want to help general aviation get safer and safer. We're very much taking notice of the efforts taken that have been done in the States and are continuing to be done in the States, and we're quite interested in the initiatives that have been put forth to make it safer and the success of it. So we want to mirror that.
Forgive my ignorance, but Transport Canada is like your FAA?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now I just want to get that straight in my head. So it's like they get to say, "I'm from Transport Canada and I'm here to help."
There you go.
Somebody talked to you.
We've heard it before. You know, one of the things that, in air safety in Canada versus in the United States, do you see a lot of weather-related incidents? Because, you know, it tends to get a little colder up there.
I wouldn't say we're seeing more than in the States. You know, weather incidents or weather-related incidents or accidents are caused by perhaps different type of weather, but no, there's probably not a great difference or a lot of difference or more accidents due to weather out there.
One could say that weather related accidents are ultimately the pilot's fault, as he didn't either know the weather, or didn't think about the weather, and didn't take account for it.
Flight planning.
Right. Right.
You know, Canada also has a lot of beautiful mountain ranges up there. Do you find it prudent for a private pilot out there to go and take, say, some training courses in mountain flying?
Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to encourage. At this time, we're launching, Transport Canada is launching with industry, what we call the General Aviation Safety Campaign, which aims at bringing up those safety solutions, some of them pertain to mountain flying particularly, and we're looking at the regions that are out west to bring or to make up safety seminars and take safety initiatives to help pilots to get a little more proficient at mountain flying.
And survival gear and technology, search and rescue technology, has come so far with the advent of the GPS locators and such.
Absolutely, and so, SATCOM. And
right. So I guess the pilot's toolkit there is expanded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
do your procedures for, say, like flight planning and airports and stuff like that, is that the same in the States, or is your stuff, your information different?
It is very similar, but as is always the case, there are some subtle differences, and we're here, amongst other things, to help pilots understand those differences. We've been providing flyers, specifically listing those differences to U.S. pilots wishing to
fly. What, to what's the biggest Canada. Mistake a U.S. pilot makes when he wants to fly in Canada?
Well,
we got a list.
No, actually, I don't have a list.
Okay.
And what we're trying to highlight is those differences. So, not knowing those differences could be the indicator of what would be the mistakes.
Right.
I was going to say the wildlife up in Canada. You know, you've got a lot more bears, and you've also got we have deer in Pennsylvania. But you guys got to have what elk and moose up there as well. It's bad enough when you hit those things in a car, but in an airplane, that's got to be a mess.
You're not supposed to be flying where the moose are standing.
The moose aren't supposed to be in the sky either, yeah, okay. But yet sometimes you wonder.
They're not that big.
It depends.
And if we're that low, there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, it's not really good. Do you have many incidents where an airplane and a wild animal come together up in Canada?
I would guess to say no more than in the States. Bird strikes would be the most common one, and it's not a number that jumps at us in the statistics.
Right. And it's the same thing. You're flying into a backcountry strip. You make a low pass first to scare everything off the runway before you come in to land.
In theory, anyway, they'll get out of the way. But you know, grizzly bears are, you know, they're all big and bad.
No, at that point you divert.
Yeah.
runway, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't need to move. I'll go somewhere else.
Yep. Have a nice day. I was just curious because an American pilot in Canadian airspace, I know there are a lot of different rules over in the European theater, but, you know, we're brothers in arms, border and everything separating us, and you're just a little colder than us. And I've always wondered, an American pilot flying into Canada, is there any specific training that he or she should get outside of the obvious mountain flying?
No, really not. No, I don't see specific training to be required at all. It's just an awareness of, like I said earlier, those slight differences. And in order to stay out of trouble, you know, the border crossing procedures, which I understand, you know, need to be well understood for an American going to Canada, but also coming back to the United States. So
let's say I'm Joe VFR pilot. I get through customs and all that, and I want to fly. Are your sectionals, do they look like ours? Do they use the same conventions and legends and such?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Okay, good. So yeah. I don't have to learn all over again.
No, it shouldn't be an issue there.
Okay. You
know, a little bit of flight planning and
and
reading beforehand will go a long way.
And remember the difference between U.S. gallons and imperial gallons?
And then you have to add liters.
Right. Now, oh boy, a whole nother conversion.
Yeah, there you go. Now you really messed
it
up.
And I don't know my stall speed in KPH.
Well, the airplane doesn't know it either, so you're okay.
There you go.
Does Canada have a lot of backcountry strips, or, you know, is it like half and half urban airports versus backcountry? You know?
Yes, there are a lot of aerodromes recognized, some of them private, and some that have not been used in a long time. So there's a lot of opportunities to for places to go, but it's also another good thing to think through and flight plan. And perhaps get a little bit of intel from the local people before going there.
That was what I was figuring, too.
Here's kind of a sensitive question. Let's say I'm a backcountry flyer and I want to go to Canada. And if I'm flying into total wilderness areas, I want to bring a firearm in case I meet an animal that's not happy to see me. Is that even possible?
That's a good question. I've been asked that question once this week, and I've been asked the very same question back at home. And the answer back at home is absolutely, it is possible. In fact, it's the bulk of the bush flying business is to take hunters and fishermen to resorts, and obviously hunters need their weapon.
Right.
That's the point. Now, it depends what weapon we're talking about now.
Yeah, I want one of those Gao 9s.
I was thinking a bazooka, because even a near miss will be good enough.
the The good thing to remember is to ask which authority, and I would offer the RCMP would be a good authority,
a good place to start.
What weapon are allowed and which ones are not.
Right,
in Canada,
right.
A hunting rifle is very much
that's common, right?
Yeah,
I would think that if I'm not out there to hunt, I'm not necessarily going to bring a big heavy rifle. I might bring just a pistol or something like that, a handgun of some sort.
Well, again, I would offer some caution there because some weapons are a little more restricted
right.
in Canada right. than the United States.
Right. Yeah, it's best to ask first. And obviously there are all kinds of online sources where you can
research
that.
Yeah, I'm sure the information's there if you just go look for it.
You know, speaking of that, if you do want to go up to Canada, how does a person get in touch with Transport Canada here? Do you have a website we can all take a look at?
Yes, contact us on the Transport Canada website. We'll guide you to one of the five regions, because Transport Canada divides the country in five regions, and so you should contact the regions you obviously intend to fly to, and from there you will be redirected to one of the regional offices. And the appropriate one to address all your questions.
And they'll give you the straight information.
Well, I imagine that once you get through all the procedures and red tape, Canada must be a wonderful place to fly, and I would love to go see it. I want to thank you for joining us, Frank. We've been speaking with Frank Mercier of Transport Canada, and he really is here to help. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and I need all the help I can get
yes,
on EAA Radio.